Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who is formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine, and now, of course, is working with the Welch Foundation, has his own blog site, does a lot of certainly writing, and, of course, he's a frequent guest here on Radio Liberty. He's also on the Kevin Beardsley show. But anyway, we're pleased to have him with us this afternoon. William, what are we going to talk about?
Dr. Stan, thanks for having me again. And once again, I think we're going to have to be talking a great deal, not exclusively perhaps, but a great deal about what's going on with the ongoing collapse of the banking system and the accelerating collapse of our currency, the world's reserve currency, which calls itself the dollar, although by strict statutory definition, what's called a dollar is not a dollar. You're dealing with an instrument of debt that's called by that name but doesn't have the substance of it. And I think that a really good place to start would be a recommendation for a website for your listeners. I just discovered this a couple of days ago, and I've been looking at it. It's a blog site called Depression2.tv. It's got a TV domain name.
And now, is that Depression? Is it T-W-O or just 2?
Forgive me, the number 2. Depression, the number 2.tv. And you don't have triple W in front of that web address for some reason, but the thing that I find interesting is that this is a website put up by people that are collating and presenting for public edification all of the evidence that we're in the opening phase of an inflationary depression. And the most striking thing that I found on this website recently was a video clip exhumed from the archives from the 1992 Rodney King riots. And the clip was captioned, "This is what the Second Depression will look like." And the clip entailed a really brave example of on-the-scene journalism by a young lady. I didn't catch the name of the affiliate, but she was actually on site when you saw the looting begin in some of the neighborhoods among the Korean merchants, the Korean-American businessmen who were selling shoes and groceries and things of that sort. And suddenly this mob descended upon their businesses and started shattering windows, dumping themselves to all and sundry contained therein. And after an interval, the Korean-American businessmen regrouped and retrenched and came out shooting. They went back and retrieved their firearms and drove away at least some of the plunderers. And at that point, a couple of cars full of young teenage gangbangers, African-American ancestry, showed up and for no apparent reason started shooting back at the Koreans who were defending their own property. And the purpose of this film clip being presented on this website is to let people know how thin the crust of civilization is, and how when it becomes very weak and it starts to collapse, you end up falling into the volcanic seething mass beneath. And that was something that we had a glimpse of back in 1992. And of course, on many occasions, people have adverted to what happened after the acquittal of the four police officers and the arrest of Rodney King and the eruption of orchestrated urban violence that ensued as a way of providing a benchmark for how bad things can get. But the fact is, that was a limited example of the sort of thing that has happened on some occasions in other cities. We remember the terrible year 1968 when a number of cities erupted in urban riots. But the point is, we're dealing now with a situation where the entire consumer economy, according to a couple of very plausible Plangent analyses, could collapse this September. And if that happens, or if we have this long, drawn-out hospice care type economy where people just find themselves being left upside down in their mortgages or left without a job or health insurance or other means of providing for themselves or their family, if that aggregates to a sufficient level, we can see that sort of thing erupt nationwide.
Well, I think we can. Of course, you have to understand that the Rodney King riots were orchestrated by the people in positions of power. The police were told not to respond. And they didn't respond until things got totally out of hand.
All you men out there, you need to listen up. By the age of 60, 1 in 2 men already have a prostate-related health issue. What does this mean? It might be an enlarged prostate, difficulty going to the bathroom, and a diminished sex drive. Not a pretty picture. If you're a man, you need to give your body nutrition to support prostate health. There's no question about it. Many people hear this and they might think saw palmetto, but there's something so much better out there. It's called Beta Prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. So before you try anything else, try Beta Prostate. Ignoring your prostate's not going to make the problems go away. Taking Beta Prostate is guaranteed to provide effective, all-natural support. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Call now and find out how you can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Call now.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border, back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts, now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central. Formidable Alex Jones says, "This is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom."
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course with us is William Greig. We're talking about really what we're facing as far as the financial collapse of this nation. And first of all, we have inflation, and then we have the falling value of the dollar, and then of course we have certainly our banks, certainly many of them are insolvent, but what's even worse of them is many of them have written massive derivative contracts. It said that Bear Stearns had something like $13 billion worth of $1 trillion worth of derivatives out there, and they couldn't let Bear Stearns go down because that would begin the implosion of the derivative market, which is somewhere between $500 and $700 trillion. And the whole GDP of the United States is only about $14 trillion. The whole GDP of the world is only about $45 trillion. And yet we have these contracts out there somewhere between $500 and $700 trillion. Once this thing begins to unravel, well, you pick it up from there, William.
Well, once this thing begins to unravel, we'll see what Thomas Carlyle, the Scottish author and philosopher, described, and I alluded to this in the first segment, as the collapse of the thin crust of civilization that keeps us from falling into the morass of magma that lies beneath the surface. We saw a hint of that in the orchestrated riots in 1992 in the aftermath of the Rodney King verdict. And the thing that I think we have to bear in mind here when we're talking about what happened in 1992 is sort of a bellwether or a foreshadowing of what could happen across the country, is that every time you have a bubble collapse of this sort, and we've never seen a nationwide housing bubble of this sort, and as a matter of fact, it's not even a nationwide housing bubble, it's a global housing bubble, and not only in terms of the people who've actually been lured into improvidently made mortgages, but also, as you point out, the derivatives market, implicating several multiples of the aggregate, I guess you'd call it the global DP, global product of the world in toto. But you talk about how when this bubble bursts and the credit and liquidity retreat, you end up with a situation where there is wreckage strewn across the length and breadth of this country. I've mentioned before that a couple of weeks ago in Florida there were riots where they had several thousand people turn out looking for housing vouchers. Why were they looking for housing vouchers? Well, some of them were people who had been living in ramshackle housing before. They were living in public housing, public subsidized housing. Some of them were people who were here illegally without government permission, which is to say, who were looking to take advantage of some kind of way of obtaining a foothold in this country. But a lot of these were people who had been left upside down and couldn't keep up with their mortgage payments, and had lost their homes, and they were looking for some way to provide shelter for their families. And as a result, you end up with SWAT teams, riot police out to deal with this surging mass of people who were this mixture of people from different backgrounds. And of course, that's a very combustible situation. The BBC, and who knows to what extent this report that I'm about to describe is accurate or to what extent it's propagandistic. The BBC, of course, is the official voice of the socialist government of Great Britain. That having been said, they do occasionally perform some legitimate investigative journalism. The BBC has a report which is available through this website that I mentioned, Depression 2, that's the number 2, depression2.tv, where they showed that there are tent cities being constructed in some parts of the outskirts of Los Angeles. And they interviewed many of the people who are living in these tent cities. Some of them were people who got sucked once again into these unwise loans, these unwise mortgage situations where perhaps they were asked to provide a very small nominal deposit, perhaps they were asked to put nothing down, but in any case they ended up losing their home, they had no place to live. So they ended up living in a tent city, and many of these people did strike me as the sort of folks who are probably going to surmount their unfortunate circumstances. They're talking about how they're working whatever jobs they can find, putting money away, trying to get enough to where they can get a suitable rental apartment, and then start building from there. I like to see that kind of attitude. When I was in, just by way of a brief sidebar here, when I was in Houston in late 1995, I stayed over the weekend at a Marriott hotel that was serving as a temporary housing facility, and much more than temporary housing facility in many cases, for people who were refugees from the Katrina disaster. They went to Houston and they took up an entire, two floors of this very luxurious Marriott hotel. And I spent a number of hours just watching some of these people. There were hundreds and hundreds of them there. And I could tell you which ones were probably going to arise above their circumstances. They were the ones who were getting up at 5:30 in the morning and showering and shaving and then going to the computer center in the hotel and looking through the Help Wanted ads and setting up job interviews and trying to find some way of getting a toehold. I ran into several of those people outdoors as they were going through newspaper classified ad sections, and I spoke with a number of them, and a lot of them were very confident they were going to be able to find some way of making a living and getting back on track. And I could tell the ones who were not going to rise above their conditions, they were the ones who were coming downstairs at regular intervals to take advantage of all the supposedly free stuff. And once again, there's a natural friction between people of that sort. That friction set off sparks, and when there's enough, if you will, cultural dry tinder lying around, those sparks are going to start a fire. And there are people who are playing social arsonist right now in this environment who would love to see this raging inferno of class and ethnic internecine warfare sweep across this country, because that provides a perfect pretext for a crackdown. And I think that that's one dimension of this collapse and this impending economic catastrophe we simply cannot ignore. And then when you're talking about these tinder fields, it's a little like what they've done with the federally managed forests, where they simply let these forests become overgrown to the point where they become tinder boxes. I call it lock them up and burn them down. Here in the state of Idaho where I live, we have a lot of government-owned land, and it's all very badly managed. And you've got a similar type of dynamic in a lot of the cities across this country, where these Federal Reserve-abetted mortgage policies are creating inner-city rot of the sort that is just a natural breeding ground for the pathologies we're talking about. There was a piece a couple of days ago on the wire services talking about something that I've been writing about now for about a year and a half, and that is the fact that a lot of the larger cities are dealing with this gentrification in reverse, where they have these huge tracts of abandoned homes, and they don't know what they're going to do with them, because obviously they act as magnets for all kinds of criminal activity, and they help to depress the property values, which has a negative impact, obviously, on the revenue outlook for these municipal governments. This article doesn't just talk about some of the cities that I've mentioned before. However, I've mentioned places like Atlanta and Cleveland, a couple of other places in Ohio. This mentions Worcester, Massachusetts. That's not the first name of a city that springs to my mind when I'm thinking of this particular type of urban pathology. Worcester, Massachusetts, they're desperate here because there are these whole blocks that have been lost to foreclosure here. Buffalo, New York, Syracuse, New York. Neither Buffalo nor Syracuse, once again, is the type of a city that I would have expected to see mentioned in connection with this particular problem. There's mention made of Cleveland, Providence, Rhode Island. It's just a really interesting combination here of some of the classic urban environments where you'd expect to see that type of a problem, and it seems to be, if you will, sort of creeping upward into some of the other communities that you'd expect to see be more stable. Of course, the Rust Belt is having more than its share of problems because it's always been economically distressed over the last 20 years, 20 or 30 years, as we've seen particularly the deindustrialization of the country. Detroit, with the collapse of most of the American auto industry, is dealing with the same kinds of problems. And so wherever you see this type of situation develop, you're seeing the conditions being set up for this type of a firestorm to emerge. And I'm desperately afraid that we're going to be seeing more and more of that over the next several years.
And, of course, we're seeing an awful lot of people losing their jobs. We're seeing people who work for the government very, very secure, at least they thought. But suddenly, many, whether it be local or state governments, just don't have the money anymore to keep all these people on the payroll. We're seeing the shutting down of the financial markets. We're seeing suddenly the housing situation contracting, housing construction, and then, of course, housing sales. And certainly we know, for instance, that General Motors certainly is going to be cutting back on the number of cars they're producing this year by about 5%. The same thing with Ford, the same thing with Chrysler. Even Toyota is having trouble with sales here in the United States.
That's, by the way, Toyota having trouble. So, that's a major straw in the wind.
This is not just simply a passing situation. And of course, I'll tell you, the people in the financial markets are frightened to death because what are you going to do with all these derivatives? In fact, there are all sorts of increments out there that have been created by the genius of the people within the financial system to make an easy buck, and a lot of people don't even understand them. In fact, I think it was Robert Rubin the other day who was saying that he didn't even understand that this is used to head Goldman Sachs. For a time, he was Secretary of the Treasury, and he was complaining that he would call people to try to get them to explain what these things are that are out there. And, of course, these are all in jeopardy as the economy begins to contract.
Yeah, these are all in jeopardy, and the thing that I find really unsettling here is the admission that some of these people who are in the rarefied realms of exotic finance, people like Mr. Rubin, who's, you know, a borderline necromancer when it comes to the arcane art of spinning debt and spinning basically con artistry into lucrative corporate profits, when he's mystified by what's going on here, how on earth are mundanes like you and I supposed to understand this? Because I find myself basically understanding in concept a lot of what's going on with these collateralized debt instruments and the derivatives and the hedge funds and things of that sort. What it all boils down to, of course, is the fact that what our mutual friend Ed Griffin calls the Mandrake Principle. Mandrake the magician, of course, being one of these necromancers who supposedly learned how to turn base metal into gold. The Mandrake Principle, whereby fractional reserve banking has always operated since we were saddled with that system a number of decades ago, it's finally, I think, reached its reducto ad absurdum. I think that basically they simply cannot find any more variations on that theme and keep the con going much longer. All they're doing right now, from what I can tell, is the Federal Reserve is simply trying to find some way of keeping this operating long enough to get the big boys out while they still can.
And of course, Mandrake was a magician, the little orphan Annie, Mandrake the magician, I remember that well. Well, this whole idea of the Federal Reserve System really is based upon magic. They create wealth out of nothing, and then they even have the audacity to charge us interest on it. We'll be right back.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. And it's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water and is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF Shower Filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel? And why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural forces directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. Dan here, and our guest is William Ringo. William, you just go ahead and pick up the story. Certainly, I think everybody out there in the listening audience should be concerned about what's happening financially. A lot of people say, well, gee, I've got my job and everything's all right. But what they don't understand is with the rising oil prices, why the price of gasoline is going to go up. When the price of gasoline goes up, everything that is delivered to your store in a truck, which is a diesel truck, their prices are going to have to go up. The price of air travel is going up, and they're putting on special taxes now on the air travel to cover the additional cost of the fuel. And then, of course, we find, of course, as the dollar drops, the price of anything that's important to this country is going to rise. And so you're going to see everything going up at the store. The government is lying to us about the degree of inflation, but then they've lied to us about so many things. It's estimated that somewhere between 10, 11, or maybe even 12% inflation at the present time. And if you really believe we've got a 2.1% core inflation, with perhaps 4%, why, you're certainly not going to the store and doing any shopping. Go ahead.
Exactly. There's just no getting around it. When you take a look at what you have to pay, take a look at your grocery bill, take a look at your gasoline bill, assuming that you keep track of that as you really should, and take a look at your heating bill, assuming that you've got heat that's not generated by nuclear power. Chances are you're generating it with natural gas or some other limited form of supposedly, putatively fossil fuel energy. If you just take a look at those three indices, you'll understand, I think, better what consumer inflation is like. Consumer inflation, of course, is related to dollar inflation, the fact that the government has systematically adulterated the value of our currency over the decades since we saw the advent of this awful entity called the Federal Reserve, which is the quasi-private official counterfeiting arm of the regime that rules us. Here's something to keep in mind by way of a baseline for how bad things have gotten. Bill Bonner and Addison Wiggin, a few years ago, wrote a wonderful book called Empire of Debt, which is intended to make reasonably simple the very complicated question of how we got to the point where we're at right now, how it is that the world's supposedly wealthiest country, and in terms of the standard of living of the consumer, in that sense, how the world's we are the world's wealthiest country, but how this country ended up basically relying on poor people in third world countries who save to subsidize our standard of living, and what's going to happen when that system breaks down, as it inevitably must. What they point out by way of providing an overall trend line for empires, this is an empire. The United States was a republic at one point. We're now an empire in the sense that our troops occupy countries overseas. They do so in ways that have to be considered inappropriate from our traditions. Our traditions are that we're supposed to maintain good relations, commercial relations with all nations of goodwill. We're not supposed to entangle ourselves in the foreign affairs of countries, whether you're talking about next door or around the world. Right now, everybody, of course, is believing that Washington has universal jurisdiction to determine who will rule in what country and what their internal structure of government will be like and the content of their commercial relations and so forth. All of those are imperial conceits. But take a look at the classic empire, meaning, of course, the Roman Empire. And what Bonner and Wiggin point out is that the basic Roman currency, the denarius, which was a silver coin that started to be clipped and shaved as Rome became an empire in the late first century before Christ, the Roman denarius lost 99.98% of its value over the half millennium or so of its issue. That is the late first century through 410 A.D. And that is almost 100% of its value it had lost in the course of half a millennium. The dollar has lost roughly 95%, a little more than 95%. I believe it's almost 97% of its value since 1913. So we take a look at it that way. One logical conclusion, rather, you can draw from this comparison is that the people who ruled us managed to do in a little less than a century what Rome took over a half a millennium to do, which is almost totally debase our currency. And that's because we don't have anything of value in our currency right now. By the time the denarius had lost almost all of its value, it still had some trace elements of silver in the coinage. They didn't have paper money. Paper money, of course, was a delusional instrument of later advent of that, but there were still some elements of precious metal in the denarius. There's no precious metal in any of our coinage. The dollars that we receive are so-called fiduciary instruments. They're promises to be paid in what? Well, paid in the full faith and credit of the government of the United States, which is to say they're forced upon us through force and fraud. And so we have a currency that is fundamentally worthless apart from the fact that people are willing to take it, which means that if you issue too much of it, people are less willing to take it. The result is the dollar becomes devalued, and the result is what you're starting to see at the grocery checkout line, at the gas pump, and elsewhere. That's the real index that we should be paying attention to, not what the government tells us,
okay,
the so-called core inflation rate is.
William, just hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment or two here at the Genesis Communication Network.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan, and certainly what we find that the United States now, rather than being a lender nation, is a creditor nation. In other words, basically we have to borrow $2.5 billion every day from other countries to be able to pay our debts. And of course right now the other countries are, at least in the past, they've been willing to help out and to buy T-bills, but many of the central banks and investors from around the world are beginning to wonder whether they should be investing in T-bills, because of course the value is going down, because the value of the dollar is going down. And, of course, right now the United States is lending money. The Federal Reserve System is lending money to the central banks of Europe and to the European Central Bank. How long can this go on? The Federal Reserve System has about $800 billion that it can use to try to stabilize the world economic system. It's already used up over $400 billion of that $800 billion, and it's going to be running out of funds very soon. And then what happens? Well, they just turn on the printing press, and they do to America what President Mugabe did to Rhodesia with the help of our State Department, of course. Well, before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog and how they can get your great book.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My blog is entitled Pro Libertate, the Latin phrase. It means for freedom. The easiest way to find it is to go to the homepage of the Welch Foundation, which is called The Right Source. The web address for that is www.rightsourceonline.com. That's one word, rightsourceonline.com. At the top of that screen, if you go to the webpage, there'll be a banner advertisement for my new book, which is entitled Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. It's about 300 pages long, and it's intended to help people understand the dramatic and largely unappreciated mutation that has occurred in our law enforcement community and in our legal system. We are now living under a fully functioning, if only intermittently obvious, police state. I say that not by way of trying to be alarmist, but by way of trying to be descriptive. The premises and policies that govern law enforcement right now assume that the population of the United States in general is the enemy that has to be managed and regulated and surveilled and harassed and kept off the necks and kept off the throats of the people who govern us. There are many, many ways that this is made obvious, but if you go to an airport, civilian airport, putatively civilian airport, if you go to your standard commercial air travel facility now, you'll have to pass through the type of screening and the type of rigorous inspection of your person that I had to go through on a couple of occasions when, as a musician, a younger man, 20-some-odd years ago, I made visits to Fort Leavenworth, which is the chief military prison in the United States. In order to get in and get out, I had to go through the type of treatment that you go through routinely at an airport today. And, of course, Fort Leavenworth is the highest security prison in the entire military penal system. And there's also a certain flavor, a certain atmosphere at an airport, many airports anymore. And it was something that was very acute immediately after September 11th for about 4 or 5 months. It reminded me of when I lived under a military dictatorship in Guatemala following the 1983 coup that overthrew President Efren Rios Montt. Very same atmosphere. And every once in a while, as I said, the true nature of the system governing us will make itself tangible and obvious. But in principle, this is the sort of thing that can happen at any time and to any extent that our rulers would see fit. And that's the purpose of that book, Liberty and Eclipse, is to help people understand what really has happened. The revolution's already taken place. All we're dealing with right now is the question of how often the government that has abolished habeas corpus and essentially set aside the Bill of Rights and created this militarized and centralized police force under federal control, to what extent that they will impose their will on us through that state unless we take steps right now to reverse what has happened. I call it an eclipse. I use that figure of speech specifically because it's my hope that this will be a temporary circumstance, that daylight will be restored. Right now we're walking in something akin to darkness at noonday, or the darkness really has just begun to descend. That's once again at rightsourceonline.com. If you scroll down the screen a little bit, look at the left-hand border of the page, you'll find my photograph, and next to it is a link that will take you to my blog, Pro Libertate. I update it between 3 and 5 times a week. And the purpose of that blog is to focus exclusively on issues having to do with individual liberty protected by law. And unfortunately, I'm never running out of outrageous things to write about, and it's not that I am addicted to outrage. I'd like to write a celebratory piece every once in a while, but our situation is so dire and worsening so quickly that I figure what I have to do right now is use whatever means I have to make people as angry as possible, as constructively as I can do so, and so that's the purpose of that blog.
Well, of course, Al Gore wrote a book recently, really about the misuse of reason, how they are distorting reason. And one of the things he says, the way to motivate people is through fear. And, of course, what he's doing with his global warming is to create fear. Well, I think what you're doing is healthy. You're creating fear of the police state that people like Al Gore want to inflict upon the American people. And believe me, there really are people with a different worldview who want power over other people's lives. The average person wants to just live and be left alone, but there is a mentality, an elitist mentality, exemplified by Al Gore, of course, and George Bush, and so many of the people that we see in political positions today who want to control the lives of the rest of us common people. And I don't think we're going to allow it to happen. At least I hope not.
I hope not as well. And it's interesting. I just cannot understand the minds of people who have this lust to control the lives of others. You know, I've got sufficient problems of my own, and my family has sufficient problems of our own to deal with without trying to micromanage and hyper-regulate the lives of other people. I wouldn't presume to dictate to other people how they should live as long as they need to pick my pocket or break my leg, to use Thomas Jefferson's formulation. But when you talk about this elitist attitude, I had a really good specimen of that that I inspected today with respect to a measure I'm going to be writing about in my blog for publication tomorrow. It's called the Court Security Improvement Act of 2007. And what that does, this is one of a multitude of measures and policies of the sort that have just recently begun to proliferate, intended to provide a cloak of anonymity and a complete insulation from accountability on the part of people who enforce what the government that rules us is pleased to call the law. Specifically, this is a measure that is designed supposedly to protect judges and prosecutors and witnesses and informants. And there are literally, as we've discussed on many occasions, tens of thousands of informants, liars for hire on the federal payroll of agencies like the DEA and the FBI. And so this measure is intended to prevent their personal information from being published or being made available on the assumption that doing so would constitute a form of intimidation or a threat of violence against these covered people. But among other people who are covered by this measure are federal officers working for such disreputable outfits as the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the most staggeringly unconstitutional entity in the entire federal Leviathan, probably the most corrupt, certainly the most inept, you know, filled stem to stern with illiterate jerks, the type of people who think nothing at all about stomping a household pet while confiscating guns from law-abiding people's homes. The ATF just recently ordered a number of little keepsakes, little trinkets that they're handing out to their agents, and ATF, the legend on these trinkets, these are engraved trinkets, the legend says ATF, and beneath it, it says, always think forfeiture. Forfeiture means theft. Anytime somebody working for the government talks about forfeiture, he's talking about stealing. He's talking about stealing the property from somebody who's at a traffic stop, stealing the property of somebody whose house is being searched in the course of a drug warrant or another type of criminal warrant. In this case, they're talking about forfeiting the property of federally licensed gun owners. And there's an incident going on. There's a long-standing controversy here in Idaho in Twin Falls involving a gun shop run by a fellow by the name of Ryan Horsley, who's been accused by the ATF of willfully misrepresenting his inventory. And they basically had 4% clerical errors that the ATF has admitted are clerical errors, and that Mr. Horsley has been able to prove are clerical errors. This ended up in federal court. But they're trying to drive him out of business because they've driven 150,000 FFLs, federal firearms licensed gun dealers, out of business. And so Mr. Horsley, after his two-day trial last month before a federal judge, the ruling won't be heard until June, was taken into a little room by a self-enraptured U.S. Marshal from Boise, with whom I spoke today. His name is David A. Meyer. If you'd like, I could provide you with his cell phone number. But Mr. Meyer sat down with a thick dossier on Mr. Horsley, most of which consisted of writings that Horsley has published on his blog. And the purpose of this visit was to inform Mr. Horsley of this new measure, the Court Security Improvement Act of 2007. And what he was told by Mr. Meyer is that Mr. Meyer would see nothing amiss of driving from Boise to Twin Falls for the purpose of arresting Horsley if he published something on his blog that was seen as constituting a threat or an attempt to intimidate people from the ATF. He didn't specify what that would be. He didn't specify whether that would consist of a post or comments that are made on a comment thread after his essay. All he was told was that, there are these people who are critical of the ATF. We believe that a lot of what they're saying can engender violence against these covered officials. Under this new federal law, you're liable to fines and 5 years in prison if we decide that what you're doing constitutes a form of intimidation. Look, these are people who have guns, all right? People who have guns and the discretionary power to use them to kill innocent people. Whenever the ATF conducts a raid, for the most part, they send these people in with their badges covered with tape, and they're wearing hoods to make them as anonymous as medieval executioners. And they're not content with this. What they want is to be able to use this new law in order to shut down any criticism of what they do, which is innately unconstitutional and thoroughly corrupt. But that's just one example of the type of people we're dealing with here. They not only want to rule us, they want to rule us in such a way that we cannot criticize what they do. At the bottom of it, I think they want us to worship them.
Well, whatever they want, they certainly are a menace to liberty, and we've seen what they did. We saw what they did at Waco. And as Sarah Blaine, who was the head of the jury that tried the Davidian said the wrong people were on trial, and she was referring to the fact that the ATF and the FBI should have been on trial, and they did not want the Davidians to be punished. However, the judge had a different agenda. He sent innocent people to prison for 40 years.
That happens all the time in this country, particularly in federal court. I can't remember the statistic off the top of my head, but you and I have talked about this before, Dr. Stan, the fact that federal prosecutors almost always get their way, and they rig the system in such a way that if they cannot intimidate and browbeat, blackmail, and bully people into accepting a plea bargain, which would essentially, in most cases, mean accept some kind of criminal charge, fines, jail time, or prison sentences, and it, as punishment for doing nothing, the alternative being the possibility of serving long, hard time in prison. If they can't do that, they have ways of using preemptive challenges and other mechanisms to manipulate juries or to manipulate the creation of juries that will be very pliant. I believe Tom Edelman is our mutual friend, Dr. Stan. He writes for The Right Source. He's one of our main researchers, and he also writes for Lou Rockwell's website, lourockwell.com. He recently published an account of his experience on a federal jury that was trying a case involving an underboss for a New England crime family. This guy's already serving life in prison for murder, so they got him, okay? You know, he's gone. He's off the streets. Good job. But they're going back to that well in order to get him on a really trivial charge, relatively trivial charge, of narcotics possession, because he was set up by an FBI informant who entrapped him into buying a certain quantity of cocaine. And while Tom was sitting on the jury, he was duly sworn, and he received a long lecture from this Reagan-appointed federal judge about being a constitutional official. Tom developed some misgivings about the case, and he asked the judge about it. Specifically, he said, isn't there a fundamental constitutional question here? Does the federal government have the constitutional authority to prosecute narcotics crimes, given the fact that all the law enforcement power should inhere in the state and local governments, with the exception of the specific crimes mentioned in the Constitution? You know, when they wanted to outlaw trafficking in and consumption of alcohol nationally, they had to change the Constitution. That hasn't happened with the so-called war on drugs, so isn't there a basic constitutional question here? Well, that got Tom kicked off the jury, because as a constitutional officer, as he had been told, that was his status, he made the mistake of asking questions about the Constitution, and so he was removed for cause during deliberations of this trial, which has been in process now for year after year after year. The only reason they're doing this trial, incidentally, is so that Maxima Mike Sullivan, once again the similarly self-enraptured federal prosecutor for that part of Massachusetts, is looking to boost his resume on the assumption that that will provide him with a little bit of propellant up the career ladder. There's no reason to be doing this. It's a waste of time and taxpayer money. It's a waste of the time and livelihoods of the people who have been called to sit on this federal jury. But that's a pretty good illustration of what's going on there. Basically, it's a constitution-free zone when you start working as a federal juror. If you actually take the Constitution seriously, not merely the plenary power of jurors to decide both the facts of the case and the law of the case, that's something most people don't understand, but if you take the Constitution seriously to the extent that you ask fundamental, essential questions about the correctness of what's going on, they'll simply cashier you from a jury and get somebody who's a little bit more teachable from their perspective.
Or somebody who certainly will not go along with the Constitution. They want people who will do exactly what the judge wants them to, and that negates the purpose of the jury. The jury is there to determine whether the law is just and whether the person is guilty. But the jury has the right to actually override the law. If they say they can jury nullification means that if the law is unconstitutional, the jury can nullify it. Well, that's the last thing that people want. Who are the elitists? They want to be able to determine who will go to prison, and the jury is simply there to carry out their wishes and to give the people the impression that we have a fair legal system.
Yeah, they're supposed to be putting a gloss, a vaguely democratic gloss on what is essentially an oligarchical system of government. And it's so amazing to me. One of the people who's promoting, or one of the sponsors, rather, of this so-called Court Security Improvement Act of 2007 was John Cornyn, the Texas Republican senator, who just a few years ago, during the conflict over Terri Schiavo, made the point that one of the reasons why the justice system, the judicial system specifically, is so frequently criticized in such incendiary terms is the arrogance of judges in creating so-called laws to suit their own whims and imposing those so-called laws on communities, or simply ignoring the law, as happened in the case of Terry Schiavo. And Mr. Cornyn, Senator Cornyn, went so far as to say, well, that might explain part of the problem we're dealing with here, where judges find themselves worried for their own physical safety because they're arrogant, they're abusive, they're high-handed, they tend to upbraid and ridicule people. So maybe there's something here that has to do with the fundamental corruption of the judge's function that we have to address before we deal with the question of court security. And then, of course, a couple of years later, for whatever reason, he was one of the people who introduced this draconian measure, the purpose of which is essentially to provide anybody who's a federal law enforcement agent or a member of the federal judiciary or a member of the federal bar, or a federal prosecutor, better stated, with the means of prosecuting their critics, claiming that by being criticized, their lives are at risk.
Well, I think we have a very... Did that law actually get passed?
Yes, it did.
Well, this is incredible. Anyway, we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. But our guest has been William Grigg. Go to his website, get his material, get his book, The Eclipse of Freedom, and we'll be talking to you next week, William. Thank you so much.
God bless.
Bye-bye. You too.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with William Grigg. If you have any question at all about what's happening financially, why you need to hear my talk on the financial tsunami, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. You can get the talk either on DVD or on video. And then, of course, we have Sydney, another talk, it's called The Plan to Police State. It comes with an excellent syllabus. We recommend it to you. And, of course, what's really behind this whole thing are the occult and spiritual forces. We simply quote to you from their publications. So if you'd like to get the Plan Police State and the syllabus that goes with that, or Financial Tsunami and the syllabus, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then let me simply mention that if you've not yet laid in a supply of emergency food, you need to think about it very, very seriously. We'll be glad to send you a free catalog. Of course, we hope if you have a catalog, you'll either start getting the food through us or go down to the store and just start laying in a good supply so that you will have the food that you would need, you know, if we get into a real crisis situation. And I really fear this is going to happen right here in America. The price of food is going up in this country and throughout the world. It's skyrocketing, and they've had actually several increases in the price of the Ready Reserve food, which is the brand we carry, here within the last few months. And it's because simply the price of the food that they have to buy is going up. So if you're interested in it, don't put it off, because, well, you never know when time has passed and you're not going to be able to get things. You're going to go to the store, there's not going to be any food there, and people say, that could never happen in America. And I would ask, why not? If God is just, he's going to bring his judgment on this country, and I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. And of course, that is a paraphrase of what Thomas Jefferson said, but if it was good enough for Thomas Jefferson, why, it's good enough for me. Anyway, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. And then we want to mention that we are going to be speaking this coming Saturday. It's going to be in Santa Rosa. And if you'd like more information on this talk, it's not only my talk, but Phyllis Lafley will be there, and Dr. Jerome Corsi and Michael Shaw is a frequent visitor here. Our telephone number is 707-539-8393. That's Orlean Kula, who's putting this on for the Eagle Forum of California. The number is 707-539-8393. And I think it'll be a fascinating program. It's all day long, couple of meals with it, and it'll be a phenomenal experience. Then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to really understand the spiritual forces that are at work. You want to get Constance Cumby's DVD on the emergence. What's the emergence? Why, it's the new world leader that has been planned for thousands of years. And yet I believe that he's in the wings waiting to come forward now. Constance Cumby's DVD, The Emergence, and of course her four tape set is priceless. Basically, of course, her book, Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, is a classic, but it's out of print now, but you can actually get the four tape set will give you the information you need to know. You'll want to get Chris Pinto's DVD. Chris had put out two of the DVDs we carry, very professionally done, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and The Riddles in Stone. Two separate DVDs, important, but here's an opportunity to hear Chris talking, telling you about the Atlantis connection. And you say, what does Atlantis have to do with anything? Well, it has everything to do with it. Because there are people who really believe and have for hundreds of years that America will become the new Atlantis and will lead the world into the new world order, the new world religion, and enthrone the new world leader. So remember all of these items, my talk, Forbidden Truth, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the talk on DVD, all available by calling 1-800-544-8927.